Greetings. My name is Dan Smoke. I am one of the hosts of the Native program Smoke Signals. The Native program, we want to be with the Native program. One of our goals is to fill the cultural gap between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal communities, to educate, inform, and promote, to provide politically unaffiliated coverage of emerging Aboriginal issues to a broad audience, to provide news coverage, news analysis, business, economic, cultural, and other news and features in a broadly based magazine format to the London community. Programming to date has included news, news analysis, interviews with First Nations leaders from the London region and with visiting leaders from other parts of Canada, features on elders, education, politics, special events, a phone-in program on the Oka Konasataki anniversary, community announcements, and music are regularly featured. I'm in the studio here with our other co-hosts, John Turner and Mary Lou Smoke.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, John. Hi, Mary Lou.
Hi, everybody.
Hello. And we have a special guest in today. His name is Maynard George from the Stony Point Band number 43. They are presently involved in reclaiming their identity and solidifying their status as a people who have always been here, but have not been failed to be recognized by the Canadian government. So Maynard, how are you today?
I'm fine, Dan.
Okay, I see that you have brought some members from your Stony Point Elders Council.
That's correct. I'd like to introduce you right now to our Elder Counselor, Rosalie Manning, who is with the Bill C-31 people. She lost her status because she married a non-Native person, and she was a dislocated member from the Stony Point Indian Reserve in 1942. Her father was the last known chief of Stony Point in 1942. And we also have with us Marlene Cloud, who has been with us since 1985 in our reaffirmation as a First Nation within the meaning of the Indian Act and within our brother First Nations. And Janet Cloud, who is a secretary with the Stony Point First Nation, the Ajudana Council of Elders. And she also helps me to reaffirm our position, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, in scenarios when we try to present our, you know, place in history with other people.
Thank you, Maynard, for that introduction. I understand that later on we'll be getting to talk with them a little further about the message that we want them to carry out to our listening public.
Yes, that's correct.
I understand that it is indeed an important one because it's an emerging situation that we would like to have proper coverage for.
That's correct. And
so, Maynard, you have been long involved yourself. I understand you have done some legal background work into this situation.
Well, essentially, that's correct. As a researcher for the Stony Point people, my involvement first started off with my mother, whose name is R. Pearl George. She was a landowner and a Stony Point First Nation member. She owned a farm at Stony Point, and she has never been compensated by the federal government beyond receiving a $1,000 check in 1981 for her loss of use of her property. From that point in time to 1985, we began our studies at that point to find out what rights we had as individuals, and in that process we found that we are a separate nation with our own council elect in 1942. And through that process we went back in history and brought it forward in time, and we don't like to call it a division between Kettle and Stony because that's such a negative feeling, but rather the reaffirmation of our identity, which was dropped in 1942 and which we have just begun to reinstate, not only with the surrounding communities, but also in our presentation to Minister Sidon on August 6th, 1991.
What happened at this presentation on August 6th?
All right. We had a meeting on the 3rd of August, 1991. Robert George was acclaimed chief of Stony Point by the people of Stony Point. There were four other members who were also asked to be chief, myself being included. But one thing we wanted to present to the public and to the surrounding communities that we're not radical. I am 35 years old, around there, between 35 and 38. And as a young individual in the community, compared to my elders, I didn't want to take my position as being the one with all the answers, because I do recognize the eldership of our people, and I have to listen to what they have to say. For too many years, I think our people have, you know, forgotten what the older people have to say and how they retain their identity and structure and culture. I would have never knew anything about Stony Point except if my mother didn't tell me that she's not part of Kettle Point. And I didn't understand it because I was born at Kettle Point. And through the process of time, I come to find out, you know, like through investigative reporting and, you know, looking into archival documents that, yeah, she was right. We were a separate nation. So Robert George has been acclaimed our chief with council. But at the same time, we are not recognized by the Indian Act, but we are a group of elders who are outspoken members within our community structure. We have people who represent the Bill C-31 people, and according to our customs and traditions, we have members from each household and family from the 18 families that were moved off in 1942. Now, my position is as a researcher and as a PR man. I talk with individuals, I solicit their help, I make the presentation to ask them for help and to identify the need within our community. That there's not a question of racism or national, you know, identity, but rather to preserve a culture and then let it go down the tubes. A lot of cultures are going down the tubes. Some of the people that we have requested aid from said they got interested because of the War Measures Act. But at present, we cannot identify the sources of our help until we have ourselves asserted our affirmation as a separate nation. They didn't want to come in and bust up our community at Kettle Point. And we said, we're not asking you to do that. We know our identity. And all we're asking is for help to reclaim what's ours, not what's somebody else's. In 1942, when our people were moved off of Stony Point, they had to purchase land at Kettle Point. There was no exchange of dollars. My mother's house was placed in swampland at Kettle Point. The Indian agent who acted on behalf of the Stony Point people purchased land off what was purchasable at Kettle Point and relocated them there. But there's a number of people who didn't get land there. So through this process of eliminating, I guess, you know, how did the Indian Act work back then? We found that our last chief, whose name was Wellington Elijah, was referred to as a counselor on documentation. So to assert whether he was a chief or not, we had to go back further and get the understanding of the Indian Act. And we retrieved documents and articles of transcripts of the Indian agents making reports. Now, he referred to them as the chief, or the chief of Stony Point. But on documents, when you retrieve it, it says counselor. So we had to get the hidden material, like the hidden agendas that the Privy Council had ordered the Ministers of Indian Affairs to accomplish, which was to consolidate, amalgamate and assimilate First Nation structures and gain their land bases from them while retaining their, how did they put it? It was their arms, you know, I guess they're standing with the British arms as an ally. So it was the process of understanding those issues.
Okay, thank you, Maynard. If people want to get in touch with you to help, you know, volunteer some of their effort, some of their physical energy to mm-hmm. helping you out, how would they do that?
All right, we have a chief now. That's one thing I really try to outline to anyone I talk to. His name is Robert George. He owns a small business at Kettle Point. It's called George's Variety, and his number is 786-6009. Or you could contact myself at 786-5983, and that's in the area code of the 519 district. And there's someone always there available to either give answers or directions to our place of reference.
Okay, could you just repeat those numbers again?
All right, Robert George's number is 786-6009, and my number is 786-5983.
Okay, thank you, Maynard. And as I was saying before, after we come back from our break, we will be talking to our guests, Rose, Marlene, and Janet. Right. Our theme song that you heard earlier at the opening of the show was Long Hot Summer in the Great White North, taken from the album Well, What Does It Take by Seventh Fire. And now we will be listening to a song from Richard Sear from his album Larceny by Trick. And the song is called Oka.